From Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Why did he do it? Why, when he had been forgiven so much himself, why did the servant hold the less powerful servant's debts against him? I mean, it couldn't have been more obvious that forgiveness was the right thing to do. The situations are absolutely parallel. The pleas for leniency are exactly the same, and yet the forgiven slave chooses not to forgive. Maybe to understand, we need to start by asking ourselves, what's so hard about forgiveness anyway? The experiences and relationships we have that are broken because we can't forgive, well, they often happen when we feel that we've been treated unfairly. And the worst ones, the circumstances that threaten to take up so much of our inner space and squeeze out any semblance of inner peace, these are the wrongs that we make into our story, and we tell it over and over again. We want other people to hear us talk and know how we feel, and most importantly, agree with us. And when we feel as though we've already told everybody that we could possibly tell, we still tell the story of how badly we've been treated to ourselves. It's interesting that Peter asked this question in the first place. Makes me wonder who he was mad at. He must have sensed that Jesus wasn't going to be okay with what was normal at the time. Three times you forgive. He started out with seven. Is seven okay? And Jesus said 77. The point of Jesus' answer to Peter is that you cannot count that high. As Carolyn Lewis says, the act of forgiveness is already a limitless, measureless act. Forgiveness is never not present. in our lives and in our relationships. That's the issue. Forgiveness is part and parcel of the kingdom of heaven. It's a constant. It's not optional. It's not a choice. We want it to be. And that's at the heart of Peter's question, our human desire for a limit to just how much we need to practice forgiveness. It's just that we think of ourselves as sort of just ordinarily sinful, and the people that we're angry with, they are extremely sinful on a whole different level. And that internal story somehow makes us think it's okay to withhold from other people the forgiveness we want and need for ourselves when we have been in the wrong. Life isn't always fair. It's an unavoidable challenge in each of our lives to figure out how to accept that truth and learn how to deal with it. Often the growth comes when we find our way past being paralyzed by the unfairness of it and deciding where to go from here. Will we become bitter? Would we throw our neighbor into jail if we could? Or will we consider the option of forgiveness? There was a woman, her name was Pat, and she had worked really, really hard at her company and always gotten the highest ratings for years and years and years, and a management job opened up, and the people in charge decided to hire from the outside. And she told her story over and over to everyone she knew. And after a while, she began to look back at her time at the company and find other places where they had been unfair too. And she kept telling her story now with more details. And her family and friends said, "But you used to like your job." And she looked back at those perceived slights and her blood pressure went up as if they were happening right then. That's what happens when we get stuck in the trap of holding on to things that have wronged us. It's like our brain is on some kind of an infinite loop. What would it look like if she practiced forgiveness in this situation? What she would surely need to do first would be to change the story in her head. To stop repeating the details that make her miserable, she would need to find a different story. Maybe her story could become, "I'm disappointed. They made the wrong choice, but I'm not going to let their bad decision ruin any more of my days." Maybe the internal story could become, "This wasn't fair, and I think that someone else might appreciate me more, so I'm going to open the door and see what happens." Maybe her story could be, "You know, this company is great for me because all my friends are here. And so I will choose to let go of this one thing." Or maybe with open eyes, she'd look and say, "I would have hated that job." There are lots and lots of possibilities once we get unstuck. But when we're stuck in the trap of unforgiveness, of feeling that life isn't fair, we can't even see the possibilities for the future. We just keep pulling the past again and again into our present as if it's happening right now. This passage, it makes us think. It makes us reflect on what role forgiveness plays in our lives. Where have we received it? Where have we given it? Where have we not given it? It may seem as though some people really do not deserve it. There are things that seem to us unforgivable. And we may have decided their unforgivability is the option we choose. But forgiveness doesn't mean we have to accept that what happened was somehow okay. Is it possible that those same unforgivables have more power over us than they would if we put them away? It's a question this passage invites us to ask. Are we setting boundaries on our own forgiveness that is keeping us prisoner? Forgiveness is one of the central tenets of our faith. And this passage reminds us that when we ignore the grace we've been given and fail to pass it on, we can find ourselves in prison. Christ invites us into a world of forgiveness. And when we walk away from that, we are not free. We are bound by the pain and the grief of feeling wronged. And we are not free to move on with our lives. How many times a day do we need forgiveness? There are some days it occurs to me that 77 might not be enough. It's hard to do and be the best we can be. And yet, what do we expect from others? The forgiveness that is God's grace is an ever-flowing fountain. Why did the servant choose not to forgive? How is it possible that he could have forgotten so soon the forgiveness that he had been given? What about you and me? In Jesus' name, amen.